Hello, it's Anita Woolfolk, the author of your educational psychology text again. Today I want to talk a little bit about the selves in psychology. Think of all the selves in psychology and popular literature: self-concept, self-esteem, self-study, self-actualization, self-efficacy, self-regulation, self-reflection. Are you a self-starter, self-absorbed, self-centered, self-satisfied, self-conscious, self-confident? Well, the self is an important concept in psychology. William James founded psychology in America in the late 1800s, and he was one of the first to talk about the self. 35 years ago, about 1 in every 20 articles in psychology related to the self. Today, it's 1 in about 7. So, let's think about selves in teaching and learning. Here's an important idea. And I'm quoting one of my favorite educational psychologists, Frank Baharis of Emory University. The beliefs that students create and develop and hold to be true about themselves are vital forces in their success or failure in all endeavors, and especially their success or failure in school. Think of 3 beliefs that might be important, discussed in chapters 3 and 10 in your text. Self-concept refers to the individual's knowledge and beliefs about themselves, their ideas, their feelings, attitudes, expectations. It's our attempt to explain ourselves to ourselves, all that we are. Self-concept is developed in part from comparing yourself to other people, using other people's abilities as a frame of reference. But this model or schema about yourself isn't unchanging or permanent. It varies from one situation to another or from one part of your life to another. Self-concept is a big idea, a whole collection of beliefs, impressions, feelings, knowledge about yourself. There are 2 parts of self-concept that are particularly important for teachers: self-esteem and self-efficacy. These are parts of this whole larger construction of yourself, your self-concept. Self-esteem is a personal evaluation of yourself. A judgment about your own worth, for example. Feeling good, proud, happy about yourself as an athlete or a poet or a friend. If people evaluate themselves positively, if they like what they see, we say they have high self-esteem. Your self-worth evaluation could be negative, too. You could feel bad about yourself as a singer or a writer, so you don't like what you see in yourself. For judgments of self-esteem, the values of your culture or your social group really matter. If it's important among your friends and family and community to do well in school and you're failing, it's likely that your self-esteem will suffer, especially if school is important to you too. But self-esteem, think self-worth, will not suffer if you fail at things that don't matter to you or don't matter to the people around you. James said years ago, self-esteem is determined by how we feel about our successes or our failures reaching goals that we value. Well, for years in the 70s and 80s and 90s, self-esteem was big in education. Low self-esteem was seen as one of the causes for many things, from depression to crime, and especially low achievement in school. Self-esteem building programs and projects popped up everywhere. But careful research showed that the relationship between self-esteem and school achievement was all over the map. Sometimes students who did the worst felt just fine about themselves, maybe because school achievement really wasn't that important to them or to their friends. Now, nobody wants students to walk around feeling bad about themselves. But just feeling better isn't a good goal. A self-belief that does matter in education, in teaching and learning, is self-efficacy. Your beliefs about your capabilities to do what it takes to accomplish a specific goal. In everyday language, self-efficacy is your confidence in your own abilities to do specific things, like learn educational psychology or teach math to middle school students. So self-efficacy is a belief about your ability to do something specific in the future. Beliefs about self-efficacy affect the choices you make. For example, your major in college. Beliefs about self-efficacy affect the effort you put forth, how you respond to setbacks, your emotions as you work toward a goal. All part of motivation. Now, this makes sense. If you think you're going to be bad at something or that it's going to be too difficult for you, you aren't likely to even attempt it or to work hard at it. If you imagine you will fail, why bother? But if you think you'll succeed, you're more likely to try and to persist. Students who have high self-efficacy for reading, for example, will select more challenging books, they'll work harder, they'll read longer, they'll persist when the reading gets tough, they'll feel less anxious while they're reading. The research on student self-efficacy is clear. Beliefs about personal competence, self-efficacy, not beliefs about personal value, self-esteem, are the self-beliefs that predict students' choices, goals, work habits, motivation, persistence, and therefore their achievement. Okay, let's review. What is self-efficacy and how is it different from self-concept or self-esteem? Self-efficacy is a context-specific assessment of competence to perform a specific task. Self-efficacy beliefs are about the future, about what you'll be able to do in a particular situation, not what you already accomplished. Because there's been so much talk, especially in the popular press, about improving student self-esteem, teachers need to know that self-efficacy is not the same as self-esteem. Self-efficacy focuses on your abilities to perform a particular task. The question is whether you can do it. Doesn't matter if other people can or can't, it's whether you can do it. Self-efficacy is concerned with judgments of personal capability. Self-esteem is concerned with judgments of personal worth, and there's no direct or particular relationship between self-esteem and self-efficacy. It's possible to feel highly efficacious in one area and still not have a high level of self-esteem, or to feel low self-efficacy in one area and not feel low self-esteem. For example, I have very low self-efficacy for scuba diving. I don't even want to try it. But my self-esteem isn't affected, probably because my life doesn't require scuba diving. But if my self-efficacy for teaching a particular class started dropping after some bad classes and bad experiences, I know my self-esteem would suffer because teaching really matters to me. Definitions stress that self-efficacy is task-specific. Now, this is a really powerful notion if you take it to heart. It's motivating and liberating to believe that difficulty learning and performing in one area does not mean you'll have trouble in another. I remember years ago how much it meant to a friend of mine when a teacher told her daughter that the daughter was likely to do well in geometry, even though she'd had trouble in algebra. It was liberating for the daughter and for the mother. It was great to know. Having trouble in one area doesn't mean you'll have trouble in another. Self-efficacy is situation specific. Well, that's all for now. I hope it was interesting. I'm going to come back later and talk about why self-efficacy affects learning and what you can do as a teacher to support it. Take care.